21 after 5, South African time. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, Yom Al-Khamis, the 4th of Safar, 1444. Ustad, welcome to the Q&A this early Thursday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyaz Hussain. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Today is the 4th of Safar, 1444. With the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, today we focus on Suratul Hajj, chapter number 22 and verse number 35. Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala informed us in our previous lesson, وَبَشِّرِ الْمُخْبِتِينَ, give glad tidings to those who are the humble people. What are the qualities of these humble people? الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ, when the name of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala is mentioned, then their hearts start trembling. O Muslim, when last did you read the noble Quran? Ramadan, we already started in Safar now. Every day recite the noble Quran and see and ask the ulama-i Rabbani, ulama-i Haqqani, the true ulama, what is the meaning of this verse and that verse? That is zikrullah, that when we remember Almighty Allah, the message of Almighty Allah, then the heart start trembling. It has a direct impact on the inner recesses of our heart. وَصَابِرِينَ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَهُمْ, and they exercise patience and endurance when calamities afflict them. Not they go and complain to all and sundry, Tom, Dick and Mary, Tom, Dick and Harry. No, that they complain to Allah. If and when there are problems, you got load shedding, you got water shedding, your marriage is on the rocks and you are in the docks, so complain to Allah first. Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam, Jacob, peace be upon him, his beloved son Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, handsome Yusuf is gone. He doesn't know 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Allah alone knows exactly what the time was, the time duration. And we find he cries, he petitions Allah, he becomes blind in the process. Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah. Ya Allah, I complain to you. My grief, my sadness, Ya Allah, you help me, Ya Allah. Allah Jalla wa Ala described that as sabrun jameel. What a beautiful exercise of patience and endurance. Wal muqimi salati. In Islam is not we must only read salat, just now I will leave and go to the mosque and the masjid to perform fajr salat. So we must ensure that others also establish salat and read salat, meaning our wives, our children, our staff, our employees. So whoever we have some authority over, give them targhib, give them encouragement, establish salat. Why is salat called salat? Today people say it's not what you know, is who you know. We say totally rejected. Salat is called salat, as-sila tu bayn al-abdi wa rabbi. It is the link and connection between slave, servant and Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala, wal muqim is salah. So establish the salat, become nearer, nearer to the divine assistance, to the divine mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala via the salat. والمقيم الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون. And from what we have given them, they spend from there. It's not my degree, it is the decree of Almighty Allah. It's not my business acumen, nay, from what Allah has given us. From there, whether it's the money, whether it's the knowledge, whether it's the skill, so spend it and show the people. And in that way, don't be bakhil and a miser and stingy. In Islam, we don't allow monopolies. In Islam, we don't want the oligarchy system and monopoly system where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Let me give you 5-6 interesting, very interesting stories in the world. Number one, America. You see, now they are feeling the pinch. Putin, we salute you. You're a harami, 100% harami. So harami, you don't know the meaning. It's a B, with a capital B. So Putin is putting them, Europe and all America, in their place. So he told them, no more gas for you for 3 days. There are some pipes that need some maintenance. Obviously, it's a fairy tale story, but he wants to show them, I'm holding the trump cards. And do you know, according to their prognosis and according to their predictions, that Russia has gas for the next 100 years. So remember, that is what they are saying. But Allah alone knows best. So for 3 days, no gas for Europe. So Europe is in panic mode. Just now, 3-4 months time will be midwinter. What will happen to us? So you deserve it, remember. Why you deserve it, Europe? Because you must remember you are helping the rogue apartheid terrorist regime of Israel. And Israel did not allow, listen carefully, all you Jutlas, all you apartheid supporters of Israel, did not allow a 6-year-old child from Gaza. That the child was not allowed by the Israeli army forces, whatever you want to call the shaitans and haramis, that to go to Jerusalem for treatment, and the baby, the child died. That is their democracy. They can pick anybody up and say he's a terrorist and detention without trial. That is their democracy. So you see, two things of America you should know. Number one, the two big newspapers, they are New York Times. A New York Times and the Washington Post. So the Washington Post is in big and huge financial problems. Allah alone knows what will happen, but they are going on a downward spiral. Then America, what they say, we are the superpower. All their Chinooks, all their big, big helicopters, 400 of them, all grounded. Something wrong with it. Allah ki lati be awaze. When the stick of Almighty Allah hits Biden, Trump, remember, nobody can help you. So that is America. Come to the other harami, China. Today, remember, the report has been released, and remember that United Nations, now they have to expose everything. What China is doing, what our Muslims in Xinjiang, you know, we can't even pronounce these words there. So anyway, how they're oppressing the Muslim in Xinjiang and so forth. So all this is being exposed now. Then another shaitan. Quran taught us this, Surah 5, verse number 82. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودِ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And remember, your worst enemies now and in the future for you Muslims are the Jews and the Mushriks, the idol worshippers, the Hindus. We don't say all, we say majority of them. Go to Assam if you know anything of India. So you will find that what happened there, that in this month alone, they demolished 3 masajid, 3 madrasas, our Muslim madrasas and our schools. We can just translate it loosely as the Muslim school and our mosque and so forth. And that is what India is doing today. BJP Modi, the chief terrorist, he thinks he'll get away with this. Remember that the time will come that you will see, you will be begging the Muslims, Allah ta'ala has a cycle. Go ask Macron. Macron is begging now. They French occupied Algeria for 135 years, 140 years approximately, and today they're begging them for gas. That is Allah's system, remember. Look at the apartheid terrorist regime, Nazi regime of Israel. They can arrest whoever they want. They can send their bombs and their planes and missiles. Now, yesterday, they attacked Aleppo airport. They're in Syria. Do you know what is Aleppo? Aleppo is Halab, from where Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni comes, from where Sheikh Usman Taha comes, the Khattatul Quran, the calligrapher of the Quran, from where Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, the greatest scholars of our time, they came from there, remember, and these haramis, that's all we can call them, the Israelis, the biggest terrorists they are. So they just go and attack, and they'll say, no, that they were preparing an attack against Israel and so forth. So is the law of the jungle today. Go to Saudi Arabia and see what they are doing in the orphanages and the zulm and oppression going there. All these shaitans must be named and shamed. Those of you who are sending us messages that you want to help for Pakistan and so forth, very good. So my advice, don't give organizations. Remember that. Rather give those people, individuals. I know of some individuals, they are going to Pakistan in 1-3 days time, inshallah. So you contact them once. I know one in Pretoria, one in Johannesburg and so forth. So inshallah, once you contact them, then you know they will go themselves, and then they will inshallah help the Pakistani brethren, our brothers, sisters, children there. They really, really, you know, the prices of food, basic food, has not gone skyrocketing beyond that. Remember that the prices of, you know, tomatoes and potatoes and onions and rice and what they need and require every day is gone up and inflated the prices by 6, 7, 10 times. How will the poor people survive? And then they got the floods and so forth, the aftermath. Allah Jalla Wala have mercy on this ummah. May Almighty Allah Jalla Wala make us an asset to humanity. Ameen, ameen. And may Almighty Allah protect the ummah wherever we are. Okay, today 8:30 to 9, Brother Abu Bakr Rawat, inshallah, Mona Zahid Khan will inshallah interview him. 11 to 12, we will continue with Mona Zahid Khan today in our fiqh jurisprudence. Today we speak about the rights of the husband and the rights of the wife, inshallah. And then 1 to 2 will be tafsir of the noble Quran. Tonight is Laylatul Jumu'ah. So inshallah, let us read abundant Durood Sharif, Salawat upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Surah Kahf, Surah Dukhan. Allah Jalla wala grant us tawfiq.
A listener says, Ustaz, that I have a Pakistani friend. Her husband passed away. She says that they cannot put their stove in for 3 days, so people must cook 3 meals for them and bring it to their house. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. One is what Sharia says, and one is what their custom tradition, what they call in Urdu, their riwaj and rasam and so forth. So when Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala an was martyred, and it happened in the month of Jumad al-Ula, in the 8th year of the Hijrah, and the place in Jordan is called Mu'ta. We've been there several times with the mercy and grace of Almighty Allah. Zayd bin Haritha, Abdullah bin Rawaha, and Ja'far al-Tayyar, Ja'far bin Abi Talib, all were shaheed and martyrs. So Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tears Mubarak were rolling down, wa aynahu tazrifan, and the Master alayhi salatu salam, this happened in Jordan, in Mu'ta. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the people in Medina Munawwara, you the people of Medina, isna'u li ali Ja'farin tu'ama, you the people of Medina, prepare the food and the meals for the people of Ja'far radiallahu anhu. He passed away. Such sadness, such grief has come to the family. So wherever the janazah, the person from that family passed away, you the neighbors, you in the surrounding, take the food and go give it to them. But it's not necessary now that you the people, the Biri family, say no, that our stove will be off for 3 days and 5 days and 10 days, as though we can't even make a cup of tea or a breakfast, and everybody must bring. There's no such thing like that. So you keep your stove on, and your breakfast and tea and whatever you want, you keep on making that. Yes, remember in Islam, the period of sadness and grief and mourning is 3 days, not more than 3 days. And you, the neighbors and friends, you should rally around that bereaved family. So it's a give and take situation.
Somebody says, Ustad, that my question is, our present president and his cabinet serious and concerned about the crime in our beautiful, or have we become like any hopeless country? Example, Colombia.
Remember that they just talk. Talk is cheap. You must remember, if you look at them, that the president himself, when in parliament they questioned him, what did he say? He's not answering any question. So what are you doing? You're making the parliament bunch of idiots. You're fooling the South Africans. And therefore we say, parla, parla. So from top to bottom, there's corruption. You didn't see yesterday about Mkhize. So all what they did and all the mask scandal, the whole pandemic was a scandal. It was a plandemic and scamdemic and so forth. And then you see that double payment for this mask and that mask and all that. From top to bottom, majority are crooks and corrupted. Remember that. No sense coming to tell us that, oh, corruption. You are almost corrupted people. Remember that, the politicians. Majority of you in South Africa. So leave Colombia and that I've been there and so forth. Your corruption is gone far beyond all that.
Let's go to Mauritius, Ustad. Somebody say, is it permissible for me to have my will out to my lawyers, as I know my kids will fight over the inheritance? Can an Islamic will be changed by the children after the parents' demise, Ustad?
Remember that when you are alive, then you, your husband, you, your wife, you should be, the parents should be sitting with their children and telling them that, see, upon my death, this is what will happen, and we're doing it Islamically. First, there will be burial, funeral expenses. Then, number two, the debts of the deceased must be paid immediately to the creditors. Number three will be wasiya, what you bequeath. But that is for non-heirs, for a person or an organization or institution, and maximum one third of the net estate. And fourth one will be the shares of the heirs. So once you have done that, don't only leave it by your lawyers and so forth. You must leave it by some ulama, or leave it by your children and make them, who are you going to make the executor? So rather make your family members the executor. They will only fight if they are unaware of it. So you must be the one who has more wisdom than them. Have a meeting, and if one is in London and one in Hong Kong and one in Tokyo, today is no problem. Remember, you just make a conference call, international call, and you can sort out the whole thing in 1 hour, and half an hour it can be done. So therefore, we disagree with that, that you don't show the children and so forth. Next one will be, it's haram for anybody to change an Islamic world unless all the heirs are sane and they are mature and they come to a mutual agreement. You call it Babu Sulh. So they say, okay, you take this, you take this. There's no duress involved, and all of them are sane and mature. So that will be acceptable and permissible. And when the world is un-Islamic, then it is compulsory for them that they must change it and make it Islamic and have a redistribution done of the assets of the deceased.
It says here, my name is Hilda, sir. I'm afraid of death. Will Jesus be with us when we die? I'm afraid of dying. Please pray for me. I live very long. Hilda, Ustad.
My sister Hilda, three parts to your question. Number one, we appreciate you calling us early part of the morning. Almighty Allah, God, Almighty Allah, bless you and guide you. So that's number one. Number two, we all have that fear for death. It's something natural, my sister. Now, what did the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said? Man ahabba liqa'a Allah, ahabba Allahu liqa'ahu. Who loves meeting Almighty Allah loves meeting him. Wa man kariha liqa'a Allah, kariha Allahu liqa'ahu. When you detest meeting Almighty Allah, then Allah also doesn't like meeting you. The hadith authentic in Tirmidhi Sharif. So the companion said, but we all have that natural fear for death. Nay, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no. When you hear about the mercy of Almighty Allah, then you want to meet Almighty Allah. When you hear about the punishment, chastisement, then you fear meeting Almighty Allah. That is the true connotation, meaning of the hadith, not the literal meaning. So now, my sister Hilda, we have to rectify 2-3 issues. Do you really believe, Hilda, my sister, Jesus is God? So Jesus was born, you say, on 25th December, which is a lie in itself. But be that as it may, so who was running this world and universe before the birth of Jesus? When Jesus was crucified according to you, and he was put on the cross, so he died there, you say, Christians say that. So who was running the world then? If he couldn't help himself, how is he going to help you? Third one, we reject all this as Muslims, obviously. Third one, you must remember that you say as Christians that Easter time, Friday evening, he was put into the tomb. So Friday night, Saturday night, so one day and two nights he was there in the Holy Sepulchre. Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene came, the tomb was empty, the grave was empty. So my sister, your God, you're telling me he's born, then your God, he dies, then your God is buried. Do you really believe that, Hilda? When he couldn't help himself, how is he going to help you? Now say with me, Hilda, Jesus, peace be upon him, is a messenger of Almighty Allah. His name, honorable name, is mentioned 25 times in the Noble Quran. His honorable mother's name is mentioned 34 times in the Noble Quran. Mary the Virgin, Mary the one who is chaste and pure. So, my sister, there is a supreme being who created Jesus, and Jesus was born miraculously. He's not God, he's not the Son of God. So you must cry and beg and say, oh Almighty Allah, oh Almighty Allah, you guide me and show me the true path. Then you are following in the path of Jesus.
I see I've got the sisters in Australia, a listener in Swaziland as well, Ustad, and a listener from Dubai. They're saying that, ask Mufti Sahib, what's the breaking news, Ustad?
The breaking news was yesterday that we sent out Guru 3 that there are certain organizations and what's happening and so forth. So we sent word documentary evidence and so forth. So if you want it, just send a message here to Mona Arafat now, 084-786-3132, and then you be the judge of what is really happening in South Africa. So a sad tale going on. We're going from bad to worse. May Almighty Allah guide us all.
Somebody says, Ustad, respect to parents. How is it dreamed if they don't respect us, Ustad?
Remember that before we speak of the children, let us ask the question, when you got married, oh husband and wife, now after 1 year, 3 years, 4 or 5 years, the wife conceived, she gave birth. How good an example were you for your children? You want your children not to smoke, but the father got his cigar and vape it all day and night in his mouth. The wife, you must remember that my mother, she wants the children not to watch TV, but she's busy all day and night with TikTok and Hollywood, Bollywood. And the husband is busy with Robin Hood and Tiger Hood. So what you expect then? When we are not the examples, these children with the small little eyes, with their small, tiny little ears, but they can see and they can think and they have that capacity. So first thing, we have to become role models and examples for them. Thereafter, we have to cry and petition Almighty Allah. Wa aslih li fi dhurriyati. Chapter 46, verse 15, the beginning of the 26 Supara, 26 Jews, verse 1, 5, 15. 16, and what will you find? وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh, beloved Allah, bring about reform, piety, goodness in my children and progeny. See, you want breaking news? I give you breaking news of the government. Yesterday, I read a report. You know, I go Wednesdays to Darul Zakaria. When I come back, it's already 9 o'clock. Then I have to have supper. By the time I start my mutala and studies, already 10 o'clock plus, man. And then, so I have to study this. I read a report last night. Shocking. A disgrace. Absolute disgrace. Minister of Education. I don't know which country in the world got two ministers of education. But in South Africa, we got two ministers. But this is the results. 99,000 girls in schools became pregnant and gave birth. This is your South Africa. That we don't know whether they're opening their books or they're opening something else. You must remember this. This is your satanic system. These are not schools and universities. These are brothels. You must remember this type of things here. 90,000 girls gave birth, fell pregnant, and so. So we're becoming a nation of haramis. We become a nation of illegitimate children. We become a nation of bees. Remember that. I mean, let us be honest about these things. Your whole education system is a failure. Both ministers, remember, I don't know how you face the world and how you'll take wages, to be honest. Remember this type of things there. I will feel very, very ashamed, man. So you must remember this type of... But this is the decadent, satanic Western society. You must remember that. Therefore, we say that, remember, in this day and this age, these schools and these universities and these colleges, yes, I will go. I'm going tomorrow also to go lecture, to go tell them these issues, that remember that you study in such places, that either you will lose your haya and your shame and modesty, either you will lose your virginity, or either you will exit Islam. Think properly what decisions you are making. Obviously, we don't say for all, but we can say for majority or many. What an indictment upon the government and our educational system. So you worried about your children, disrespect. But who sends them to the brothels? Who sends them to this haram places? We as parents, my child must have matric, my child must have education. So we're not against education, we're against the toxic environment there. I studied in university, I studied at Rao, so you must remember that. I studied at UNISA. We did everything via correspondence and so forth and so on. So you must don't come and tell us like we're living in some other world. But if you want children to respect you, then give respect, then respect will come. You must be the one that you have to show them that what are the true values in life.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. So, Ustaz, can we accept pensions from this corrupt government, considering that it is all invested in interest-bearing products, Ustaz?
100%, you must remember, you paid for it. So it's all your taxes and all these type of things. Now petrol went down 2 rand, then it will go up another 2 rand. See, you know, yo-yo, up and down. But most of the time it goes up. Did you work out how much tax you pay? Then your provisional tax you have to pay. Then your dust tax you have to pay. So now if you collect pension and all that, it's totally halal. Yes, the interest and all that, use that interest and that to pay them taxes, to pay them the all these haram things there, your rates and taxes, whatever. You can use that. We say, and who introduced the pension? Amirul Mu'mineen, he was not a narcissist. He was one of the greatest people walking on this earth. Even before Islam, he was not a narcissist. We reject that, what contempt it deserves. Remember that. Sayyidina Umar Amirul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala, and who was that personality, the foresight inside he had, that the Jew told him that when this Amir, we were young, he would charge us jizya tax. We old, he gives us nothing. Sayyidina Umar said, what the Jew said is the truth. He implemented the whole pension system. That is what our Islam is all about. Remember, we become an asset to humanity. Last question.
Has it Sister Fiona Usachi, she says, good morning to you, sir. It is spring now. Do you guys have separate ladies' swimming pools? Fiona Ustad.
Sister, you must remember in Islam, the greatest quality we have is Iman and faith. And after that Iman, Islam, then is Haya, and it is shame and modesty. If you want that, my sister, my daughter, my mother, my wife must go there to Umslanga and to the South Coast and North Coast with a bikini and go and swim there. That's haram, unlawful throughout the year. And if you're speaking about swimming pool, that everybody jumps in the pool, men, women, children, and a whole lot. So I'm asking you one question, my sister Fiona. What you think when you jump in the pool, you got your bikini, and somebody else's husband is checking you out and all that? What you think about it? Are you setting a good example or a bad example? I'm asking you. Quickly, I tell you a story, my sister Fiona. I was flying from Johannesburg to Zambia. This is many years ago, 15, 20 years, I can't remember also. So it was my wife, then myself in the middle, and one white gentleman. So he was uncomfortable. He thought Osama bin Laden came next to him, you know. So anyway, I told him, brother, I forget his name now. Let's just call him Anthony or whatever. So I told him, brother, just cool down. You ask me any question you want, and you'll be, don't worry. We are the most pure, peaceful people on earth. No wine, no swine, nothing. So thereafter, first question he asked, he put his finger past my nose, why she's dressed like this? So I said, brother, I'm just asking you to be honest. Let's say there's 100 passengers in this plane, 50 male, 50 female. Now you must answer honestly. These 50 female, who will be a better role model for their children, grandchildren? This lady here or your custom where they're running around with miniskirts and bikinis and that? He don't speak. He pick up his finger. He put again, pointing to my wife. So that's our answer, my sister. Remember that once this nation has lost shame and modesty, then you get 90,000 girls pregnant. That is what will happen. Allah guide us all. Salaam alaikum.
وعليكم السلام